Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to Get the Table, another Wrestling Roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, and one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, here to discuss another burning wrestling issue. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT, pay-per-views, we have interviews, more roundtable discussions like this one, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick. And sir, we are socially distanced here today to talk about the Slammy Awards. First of all, how excited are you to see them back?
Ultimately, it's a departure from the usual format of... Are they on Monday Night Raw?
No, they're just on social media on a Wednesday. I thought that.
Oh, are you kidding me? What's the point? You can't book a show to save your life. You've got this... I mean, no one takes the Slammy Awards seriously. They don't... Unless it's Owen Hart, no one makes anything of them. It's just a nice little ceremony with the slightest hint of intrigue. Oh, who's it going to be? Everyone likes to see an envelope getting opened. I prefer seeing an envelope getting opened than a 15-minute Raw match. What's in... Why are they not doing it on Raw? You've broken my brain here.
They're doing it at 10 a.m. Eastern on Wednesday, the 23rd of December.
You can... Oh, my God. It's not just the... Oh, an envelope. Who's going to be in the envelope? It's like... It's the whole, like, Eric Rowan... What's in the box? I just need to know what's in the box.
Like, didn't this set the end of Shawn Michaels' career a while back?
Yeah. Like, it's been used as a proper storyline driver to pave character arcs between Michaels and Owen Hart, respectively. Not just that, but there's the... Oh, it's in the envelope. What's it? It's the box. The box. I need to know what's in a box. But not only that, like, if someone disagrees with who got an award, he can drive conflict. You can tell stories. Why isn't this on television?
Maybe it will be. There's a big shake-up on Monday Night Raw coming, apparently. They finally realised that the ratings were in the sodding toilet.
No, there is no shake-up coming. There is... Oh, we'll have... a monthly brand-to-brand invitational. You couldn't get enough of the quarterly, so get some monthly down here. There will never be fundamental change. It's not a creative issue. It's a values issue. It's what the company, not just McMahon, the company values. Let's get to the fun. Let's get to the Slammies.
Okay, let's get to the fun, because it's being hosted, Michael Sidgwick, by R-Truth. What could possibly go wrong? No, let's actually get into it. Let's start with the first category, Superstar of the Year.
Kenny Omega.
I'll give you the nominees. Unfortunately, Kenny Omega just misses out by the looks of it here. Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns, Randy Orton. Get this. Braun Strowman. I realise he won a world title, but Jesus Christ. The Fiend Bray Wyatt. Asuka, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Superstar of the Year.
Jesus Christ. Well, Charlotte Flair surely doesn't warrant contention. She tanked NXT's ratings. She was barely on TV for as long as the other contenders. So she can be stricken from the record, even though the match with Rhea Ripley was great. Braun Strowman had possibly the worst world title run ever, ever. Disregarding the ones of, like, no length transitional champions who do not count.
Did you not enjoy the real build to WrestleMania with him, though? I personally.
No, I mean, I was with them every step of the way, but unfortunately, it just didn't really realize that dream, that promise.
This weekend, it's going to be Goldberg versus Braun Strowman for the world title.
Watching Braun Strowman try to showcase range via his acting was an embarrassment to me as a pro wrestling fan. So he's not going to win Superstar of the Year. Roman Reigns, people love him. I love the character more than the storylines he's involved with. I think the matches have been let down by variously exposition in the middle and very tropey layouts in terms of that Drew one, which I know other people were high on, and I will acknowledge that. But just the man himself is terrifying. Dangerous energy. Looks demonstrably capable of ending you. He's great. I think you'll have a better 2021 even than 2020. Mm-hmm. Not him. Orton is boring. Get rid of him. Bailey and Asuka and Sasha. It's between them three for me, because as much as I like Drew, he got mired by Randy Orton, and I was sick of getting reminded that this actual star I'm meant to receive got fired. And, you know, glad to be in the company again. What a great place to work, guys. Isn't WWE better than Drew McIntyre even? Fuck off. Bailey's heel work in the ring was phenomenal, considering how long it took her to grasp how to be a proper working heel, like bisecting entertainment and great wrestling with doing things that people would hate her for. Great in the ring, but that ding dong hello patter was so criminal, and I know it was meant to be criminal on purpose, but it just stepped beyond that line that it instantly disqualifies her from contention for me. Asuka has been, alongside Sasha Banks, like the last month or two, have really undermined great in-ring years. I'm going to give it to Sasha. I'm going to give it to Sasha because I think her matches with Asuka and Bayley were both, or all, because there were so goddamn many of them, tremendous. She really puts the effort into just casting the idea, the tone, the spell that it's a fight, and it's exhilarating because just the acute submission escapes and the way she wrenches back, like she works like she's trying to hurt someone and thrill you at the exact same time. And outside of Goldberg, she drew WWE's best quarter hour alongside Bayley, but she didn't, like Bayley, say ding dong hello, or she didn't say it as often. Sasha Banks is your superstar of the year.
I can't really disagree with that. If they're going to do one for the men and one for the women, I'd probably give it, well, you have to give it to Roman, really, don't you? Because he literally beat Drew McIntyre and, well, three of the other entries in that category suck. So, yeah, it would be between Roman and Drew for me. And, yeah, women's division, didn't enjoy Becky Lynch in 2020, if I'm perfectly honest. The short time that we had her, should not have won at WrestleMania, as I've said on numerous occasions. Should be Shayna Baszler on this list because she started off so well. Then Charlotte Flair chucked her out of the Royal Rumble. Then she got back into the Elimination Chamber and then everything else really happened. Sasha for the women, unquestionably. Bayley, a close second for me. And also Asuka deserves a mention. But yeah, Sasha, if it's just one award, if it's two, has to be Roman and Sasha. Let's move on to Match of the Year, Michael Sidgwick.
Man Page and Kenny Omega versus Young Bucks at Revolution. It just is. I'm sorry. It just is. It'd be so hilarious if they gave that. If R-Truth said that. That could be a bit. That would be a really funny bit. What are the contenders?
There are actually some good matches in here.
Well, there will be. People don't get this about me. I think the creative sucks. I think the values suck. The talent is amazing. You are always going to get great matches on WWE TV, except when you've got a roster like that, that is the bare minimum. Thank you. Carry on.
Some good contenders. Some matches I genuinely cannot remember because this year has been so long. New Day versus the Hurt Business from Raw mid-November. I genuinely can't remember. Yeah, right. I'll move past that. We've got the Boneyard match.
It wasn't for me, but everyone else liked it. I just don't like The Undertaker.
The irony of this category existing, by the way, with the greatest wrestling match ever only being a contender. Was it Match of the Year or was it the greatest wrestling match ever? There's that, Edge Orton from Backlash. There's the Royal Rumble, whole men's Royal Rumble match from this year. AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, IC title on SmackDown in June. Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, I Quit match at Hell in a Cell. Sasha Banks, Bayley, Hell in a Cell for the SmackDown Women's Championship. AJ Styles versus Sami Zayn versus Jeff Hardy for the IC title at Clash of Champions. Becky Lynch versus Asuka at the Royal Rumble. And Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns at Survivor Series.
Oh, not the best at retaining information in my short-term memory bank, so I've forgotten half of those. The Boneyard match, people really liked it. It was a creative workaround. It did actually make it feel like WrestleMania a bit, which felt impossible. So I'll give it credit for that, even though I subjectively didn't enjoy it. The I Quit match at Hell in a Cell. What's Roman crying for? What's he crying for? Like, don't get too overambitious with this character. Don't give him that emotional texture, because I just didn't buy it. Even if he can cry, he shouldn't. Or was he playing like the snake in the grass to lull Jimmy Uso into the decision? I don't know. Stop crying and stop talking as well, for that matter. Bayley versus Sasha at Hell in a Cell was amazing. Really creative. And they were doing lots and lots and lots of stuff in that match that made you think, right, they've been crafting this for a long, long time. They've clearly wanted to do this for forever. And as much as I loved that feeling of two pros really invested in their work and doing everything to try and get it over, I still don't think they did too much. I still think they maintained that tone of, we hate each other, we're just good at this, and we're going to come up with creative ways to kill each other. I thought that was really, really great, that match. But my match of the year for WWE, because obviously it was the Revolution tag, the WWE match of the year was Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles. I've watched that like three times, and usually with WWE, I'll never go back and watch it again. In fact, I'll pretend it's never happened. Bryan versus AJ Styles, go back and watch it. I heartily recommend the rewatch, even though the optics of the Performance Center and the atmosphere, just, they lend itself to, like, it's the grim wrestling experience to begin with. And you just watch it thinking, it's just nice to be in touch with something that's happening. It's nice to talk about pro wrestling, and it's better to do it live, because you can't go back and watch Mid-South, as great as it is, during these conditions, because even though you get great wrestling with fans or something like that, you don't get the conversation, you don't get all of it. Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles, forget that it's in the Performance Center. Watch it. The amount of detail they put into this match with the arm selling is unbelievable. There's this one sequence where they both worked on each other's arms. Daniel Bryan just manages to counter a hold. He fires AJ into the ropes while selling his injured arm with mostly his hips. He drops down on the mat, right? But just lands like almost cagily to compensate for the fact that his arm hurts. He never, ever forgets that his arm hurts. Springs back up. He can't do anything with his arms because one of them is knackered. So he just knees him in the gut. AJ takes this horrendous, like, this great bump. They love working with each other. They mesh with each other so perfectly well. There's a really nice technical wrestling World of Sport flavor running throughout the entire thing that just builds and builds and builds. Never once ever forgets one hold that was applied 5 minutes before the finish. A masterpiece, an actual masterpiece.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that. I feel like match of the year might be, for me, the Firefly Funhouse between Cena and Wyatt, but it's not on this list. I did enjoy the Boneyard match a lot more than you did, but I don't think it was match of the year. And Edge versus Orton, kind of cheating, innit? Let's be honest, with all the added bells and whistles that they put with it.
It was really well done, really well paced. Didn't Randy Orton do well?
The Royal Rumble match had its moments, and we'll get to that in due course. The I Quit matches, I loved Sasha and Bayley, and I did enjoy Reigns versus Uso, but Sasha and Bayley, if you're going to pick just from that pay-per-view, you have to win
Roman
that.
Crying again. Of course, Ruby Riot.
I'm tempted to pick AJ Styles, Sammy and Jeff from Clash of Champions, just because I was so happy when it happened, but like, that's what I needed in the middle of the year. AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, just be like, oh yeah, no, we can do Mint Wrestling when he goes the chance. So if we're not going to have it for the Firefly Funhouse, AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan for the IC title, makes a lot of sense. Let's move from that to Tag Team of the Year and WWE Tag Team, because otherwise I know where you're going with this.
Okay, I'll stop doing that bit. It's Young Bucks. WWE Tag Team of the Year. Jesus Christ.
We've got five here.
What are the options?
Right, some of them are obvious. New Day, Street Profits, obviously. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, obviously. Golden Role Models, obviously. And I love them. Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro.
Hey, they've worked a lot of Gentlemen's Three.
Yeah.
A lot of Gentlemen's Threes. And, you know, there's not really a five-star WWE tag team match. There's barely even any four stars in 2020. They just don't care about it. Oh. Eh. It depends what you care more about. Do you care more about those handful of really great matches that formed part of a better storyline? Or do you just care more about consistency? I love that. I love approaching wrestling like it's gravy. Oh, the consistency, yeah. Consistently pretty good. Yeah. It's a bisto. It's something that's going to exhilarate you, for Christ's sake. So, unfortunately, as much of the Street Profits have put in a fair amount of graft and have crafted some pretty good three-star matches over the course of a year, I can't possibly get like excited, thrilled about that. I can't reserve my most fervent phrase for that. I'll give it the Golden Role Models. I don't think they barely worked that many great tags, but there's one on NXT that was amazing. Yeah,
genuinely.
I'm more of a peak guy. I'm more of a good taste guy.
I'm going to have to start picking something other than you in a minute, but I'm sticking with you on this one. Genuinely the second best women's tag team champions of all time. Golden. Genuinely cannot remember off the top of my head, and this may be because it's late in the year, genuinely cannot remember a title defense from Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, so can't mention them.
Nope.
New Day and Street Profits, like you say, good, but Street Profits, you know, deserve a mention. They may get an award a little bit later, but you have to go with the Golden Role Models. I really am intrigued to know your thoughts on this. Rivalry of the year. Right, the correct answer... I'm not even going to go into too much detail here, Sid. The correct answer is, of course, Sasha Banks versus Bayley.
Yes.
Get a load of some of these. Rivalry of the year, don't forget. Edge versus Randy Orton. Give me a one-word summary of each of these.
Great.
Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton.
Numb.
Jesus. If you're going to give it for the longest, then it wins this. Seth Rollins versus the Mysterio family.
That's my reaction.
Sasha Banks versus Bayley, which is the winner. And the final two, they've clearly just gone, oh, bollocks, we need two more. We need two quick. 5 minutes. We're going to print in 5 minutes. Lana versus announced tables.
Pathetic. Like, it's pathetic. It's not funny. It's an indictment.
And, right, actually, give me a second. I'm going to get the machine ready. One word to sum this up. R-Truth versus the World.
Alan Partridge, shrug, doc, give.
I was worried you were going to swear that.
Banter all this crap off. Sasha and Bayley descended at times into rancid WWE tropes. Several terrible finishes suffocated that goddamn Asuka Sasha mini program. They did a DQ finish on TV before Hell in a Cell. And it didn't kill anything. But why bother? Ultimately, if you take away the creative and you concentrate on what Bayley and Sasha did themselves subtly throughout all of those weeks, the various glances to the belt, the various layouts of the matches that Bayley really tried to suppress Sasha Banks. Yeah, at the core of the story was that Bayley realized the potential for Sasha Banks to take her title. And the growing realization that Sasha Banks wanted to do it and could do it after all these years was really quite thrilling to watch. And the two blow-off matches, when they didn't go with DQ, were both excellent.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's move on to return of the year. Now, I will warn you with this. There is also a moment of the year that I feel like probably deserves, because return for me encapsulates not just the moment they returned, but what they did. And yes, they had that amazing match of Backlash, but by God, they tried everything to ruin it at WrestleMania. So your returns of the year, you've only got five. Edge, Roman Reigns, MVP, who does obviously deserve a bit of a nod here because he's gone from, oh, wouldn't it be funny if he came out of the Royal Rumble to, I mean, potentially, we're recording this on Friday ahead of it going out on Sunday. I mean, by the end of today, he could be the leader of a stable with a lot of the gold on Monday Night Raw. Edge, Roman Reigns, MVP, Goldberg, Sami Zayn.
Oh, you know what? It's not as cut and dry. I mean, it probably is. Is it? Here's the thing. Sami Zayn, I might just give it to Sami Zayn because of the actual incredulity I experienced, the fact that he didn't come back with a hypochondriac gimmick who ducked out of matches and went, oh, I've got a bit of a fever, guys. I can't wrestle. Like, I'm surprised that they didn't indulge their cruelty, possibly because Vince McMahon values men with a set of balls. Right. So well done for Sammy and well done for WWE for not being total dicks. Edge's return was great. Fantastic. But what did it really amount to? One great Raw angle, a Raw return that didn't hit as much as it could have because they pre-advertised it. Rotten. Worst match of the year candidate at WrestleMania 36. Just an indulgent, incredibly depressing, a painful seeming match that just eliminated the sense of thrill that comes with watching somebody get hurt, completely rendering the beautiful concept of violence utterly pointless. How do you do that? How on earth do you do that? I hated it so much. It was so pretentious and pointless and stupid and boring. Guys, it's pretty hard to try and engineer that WrestleMania feeling because there's no fans. How do we do it? Echo a tragic double murder suicide? Yeah, that'll do it. We are geniuses. Great. So on principle, I don't want to give it an Edge.
It's got to be Roman.
Roman Reigns got better after the return because it confused everyone. People thought, is he a babyface? Is he a heel? What's going on? Got better. The actual moment itself, I think, was confusing and distracting. Looking at those teeth. I'm going to give it to Sami Zayn.
Good. I'm glad you've given it to Sami Zayn, because if you've given it to Sami Zayn, that allows me to give it, again, credit to MVP and all this. Piss off, Goldberg. Edge, we'll get to in a second. But it's got to be Roman Reigns for me. Like, he's finally turned it. I mean, he's done something that people have been crying out for years. But I think that might have been the moment as well where me and Nicholas broke our streak of bad pay-per-views, because we were like, oh, SummerSlam main event, here we go. Bray Wyatt, bloody Braun Strowman, you'll never see it coming. Ugh. And we didn't see it coming. And we were like, lads, is WWE good now? Like, and it wasn't, obviously, but but in terms of like overarching, like we say, Edge we'll get to in a second, in terms of like transformative returns, Sammy is so close on mine. But you got to go. You got to go for the tribal chief, the head of the table, Roman Reigns, aligning himself with Paul Heyman, getting this. I mean, from the moment he's returned, people have been looking forward to, please God, him versus Big E or The Rock at WrestleMania. So I've got to give it to Roman Reigns. Let's talk about this moment then. Let's talk about a moment of the year. I don't think we're going to have too much of an argument here, but I'll run you through the contenders again, because I think they've gone, we need one more, Steve, one more. Can you, anything that's happened that's actually entertaining and people talked about? So we have in order on the website, The Undertaker's final farewell. Yeah, same. Drew McIntyre defeating Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 36, which also should include him beating the Big Show, of course, on the same night. Becky Lynch announcing her pregnancy. Edge returning in the Men's Royal Rumble match. The New Day's farewell address from SmackDown in October. Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman uniting on SmackDown in August, immediately following, of course, SummerSlam. Bayley betrays Sasha Banks and... Oh, right, we got Edge, got McIntyre. What else can we do? Steve, anything? Have you got the New Day? I've got the New Day. What about the New Day gets drafted to different brands? So they put two moments 4 days apart. Like, I get it. It was a bit heartbreaking with Xavier's whole, you didn't say Big E there, but you can't have both. And it doesn't really matter, let's be honest. Moment of the year for you, Michael Sidgwick.
Oh, right.
It sting! No, I'm like...
here we go. Edge's return. I really liked it a great deal. I loved Edge. I think he is one of the most underrated of all the WWE, like, big picture greats. Like, get a match with The Undertaker at WrestleMania 24. Just a counter wrestling masterclass where you thought, oh, he's not quite on The Undertaker's level. He's a bit skinny. Like, is he going to break the streak? And it's like, he was so great at countering everything and telling the story that he's got the answer to everything. I think it's one of the best streak matches, the most underrated, certainly.
Yeah.
A lot of affection for him. But how they followed up that return and how they filmed it to begin with just pissed me off and proved to me that WWE is incompetent, because Edge used to be like really funny and entertaining. And it was all so poor-faced and miserable and serious. They just drained Edge of all patter. And I thought that was unforgivable considering how great an entertainment machine all-rounder he was. Becky Lynch revealing the pregnancy on Raw. It was just a genuinely nice thing that I'd rather watch a nice time being shared, particularly at the time it was shared. And it came off the worst thing I've ever seen in that WWE Money in the Bank ladder match 2020. It just felt like, you know what? This transcends everything about pro wrestling, or WWE, at least, in 2020. Just people having a nice time. And it was sold really nicely throughout with nice little character moments. Shayna Baszler, that kid's going to suck. Just little moments like that. And the genuine, it just... I'd rather watch people on WWE TV have a nice time than worked precision calibrated gentlemen's 3¼-star matches.
I get where you're coming from, and it was a lovely moment with Becky Lynch, but it's my moment of the year across moment, as in just snapshot. Like, there's Sting coming out on Dynamite. There's, as we're going to allude to in some podcasts coming out next week where we review the year, there's the moment where actually nothing happened at Revolution when Hangman Page grabbed the top rope. They're all right up there. But Edge returning to the Royal Rumble is something I've watched over and over and over again. And it really doesn't help that we've had the ongoing Global Bastard, because Edge, close to tears, drinking in that moment whilst people stand next to each other and hug and stuff. And I remember flashing back to the stream what we were doing. I think it was me, Phil and Gareth going, oh, bloody Edge, it's actually happened. It hits me every single time, so I have to go for Edge returning at the Royal Rumble.
He's a boring bastard now, though, isn't he?
Yeah, and I have to say, as much as people I saw people going, hey, they've nailed this. It sounds terrible, but I couldn't care less about The Undertaker's final farewell.
Like, no.
It was a nice nod to Paul Bearer in there, but the whole Tesla coils thing made me giggle a little bit on the stream. I was a bit tired, and it was like, what are they doing? And then, let's get bring out all these legends. Right, piss off, here's Vince. It was just, like, the video package is great, but that's a given when it comes to WWE. So, and Drew McIntyre, great seeing win the world title, but I feel like him being the Big Show is probably the biggest story there, so they've missed that out. Right, final couple of categories before we get to one that hasn't actually been included, but we're going to, because we do the best version of the Slammy Awards. The Michael Hamflett Award, a.k.a. a genuine category that WWE suggested. Ring Gear of the Year. The nominees, Michael Sidgwick, Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, Seth Rollins, The New Day, Bianca Belair, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Carmella.
Did Nakamura wear either the wrong or both colours at Survivor Series?
I think so, yeah.
Right, not him. God, remember Shinsuke Nakamura?
I try not.
Like 2014, 15, and even 16. I never see his name get like uttered or read anywhere. What an irrelevant. And how sad is that? Oh, Jesus Christ. Hamza will tell us all. Bailey and Sasha. Nah, they did well. It's what I'm talking about with Bailey and Sasha. As I understand it, with attire, they've pretty much got carte blanche. It's the one concession they give to the goddamn talent in WWE. Vince McMahon will bollock them after the fact. He will sometimes bollock them if he sees them like making their way to the ring from Gorilla, at which he sat. And what on earth are you wearing? And afterwards, like, you're never wearing that again. But it's always like a forgiveness later approach.
Yeah.
So Bailey and Sasha, through their various attires and who they paid tribute to and who they mocked, they legitimately told the story of their epic saga through material, their literally owned material. So I'll give it to them as co-winners.
Yeah, you have to go with Sasha here. I mean, there's no argument. There's no other even contenders that are even close. You know, the New Day do great stuff, I have to say, with their gear every single time. And I should say, and it's not really ring gear, but merch of the year unquestionably goes to Sami Zayn for that new T-shirt of his. But it has to be Sasha. Final category, according to WWE here, before we get to our special one. Breakout Star of the Year. Five contenders from WWE. Dominic Mysterio, Bianca Belair, Otis, The Street Profits, and, of all people, Murphy.
Christ. Look, here's the thing. You can't go, oh, well, the ones who impressed me have been normalized or ruined or just removed from TV because creative is nothing for them. I put myself back into the moment of who's excited me the most as a new act. And the answer is none of them, because you know they're all completely doomed at some point or another. Who impressed me the most out of all those people was Dominic Mysterio. Seth Rollins, I must say, did an exceptional job of guiding him through those matches. It's very easy to take the piss out of Seth Rollins because he's the one person alive who stood up for WWE in 2010 on the back of that campaign. But he is great, selectively great, when he wants to be. And he was great carrying Mysterio, who did so well to just articulate how much of an in-ring prodigy he is.
I'm going to do something we haven't done so far on this. Marcus, you and I both know that WWE listens to these podcasts, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is, as I say, going out on a Sunday. You got till Wednesday. You got time. You haven't recorded this, as far as I know. And if you have, there's time for a retake. Because whilst I agree, it probably should be Dominic Mysterio. I've got a bit of a sadistic obsession with Dominic Mysterio ever since I didn't get that moment of him getting choked out by Samoa Joe at WrestleMania 35, I think. So here's my suggestion, WWE. Whatever it costs, because I think you've got a fair bit of money knocking about in the bank, so you can probably swing this. have the whole R-Truth being silly thing. He announces the winner, envelope, Dominic Mysterio. But before Dominic Mysterio can accept the award, he gets his head punted off its shoulders because Pat McAfee is the breakout star of the year, WWE. And I know it's on the little brand. It's on the little brand that's only there to hobble AEW Dynamite. But Pat McAfee, if anyone encapsulates a breakout star of the year, it is that man.
John Silver.
I also want to see him hurt Dominic Mysterio and then be given 10 minutes with a live microphone, preferably.
And then John Silver can come in, one hand, gorilla press slam, boom, he wins. Nah. There's no NXT component here. They do their own year ends, I think, except they treat it somewhat seriously. But yeah, if you're going across the whole industry, because it's obviously Dominic Mysterio on the main roster, industry-wide, it's got to be McAfee. Like, we all knew what John Silver could do on the indies, but Pat McAfee, total revelation, inexplicably great at this, a natural at this, and you hate him for being a natural at this because, as he so wonderfully articulates, I'm just natural at everything. You know, I'm a billionaire in however many different industries. Like, what a heel. Fantastic.
You know the shots of, like, I don't know, they've done this with like the Undisputed Era, but you know the shots of like Adele at the Grammys or Beyonce or whoever it is with armfuls of awards. That should be NXT's year-end awards with Pat McAfee. Promo of the year, male superstar of the year, breakout star of the year, moment of the year. Like, it's all there, and he deserves some recognition on the main roster. Right, let's move on to our own final category, which has sadly been dropped from the Slammies this year, but we're bringing it back with a nod, actually, in the introduction here to Pat McAfee, because you could include literally everything he did for this. We're going back to, and I can't believe they've not done this, although I suppose they're in their eyes, the winner of this is the host of the Slammy Awards, the LOL moment of the year. What made you laugh out loud, LMFAO, this year, Michael?
I had a doink at Money in the Bank. How funny was that? Oh, the clown. who could possibly have laughed at that? Some absolute hick.
I'm glad you get you. Well, you check yourself there, didn't you?
From Bumshagville, Alabama. The clown. Like, I mean, who could possibly laugh at that? He didn't tell a joke. It was just, oh, there's doink. It's obviously not fucking doink. It didn't look a thing like any of the doinks. He's some 25-year-old creative writer who's wearing the same shirts I wore in sixth form. It was so big. With a clown mask on, it's a paint, and I'm meant to think that's doink. WWE isn't remotely funny.
Do some research for this. WWE have released a like top 10 funniest moments of the year. Doink the Clown does not make the list, but the bit with Styles and Bryan breaking into Vince McMahon's office does make
it. Why?
I think number near the top is a bit I genuinely forgot, and it deserves a mention because they popped Brock Lesnar. His R-Truth on announcing his participation in the Royal Rumble, which I'd genuinely forgotten about. But
if I could be serious for a moment, LOL moment of the year, like when they had the actual, because they won't mention the C word and it doesn't end in unt on telly. They've completely no-sold these circumstances, and for the weirdest reason, beyond the cinematic matches, just presented their own TV show with no real concession to how things had changed, just as is, apart from when they did the camera sweep across the empty seats. And of all people, Byron Saxton.
Yeah!
Hell yeah! Or just stupid arsehole, just give it his all. He was going in for an Oscar on that night.
Yeah.
And just, it was Austin who like managed to condense so many different tones into one, like disgust, incredulity, just bafflement. Deadpan, Sven. Huh? I lolled. I genuinely lolled.
I think that might win it, actually. I'm just looking through some of the notes here. I genuinely couldn't believe when I was looking through WWE's top 10 funniest moments that how much fish could Bobby Fish fry if Bobby Fish could fry it was this year. I was like, oh yeah. But I think there's issues surrounding that entry, let's just say. I've also just written the words Mysterio's eye, because I did laugh at that, to be perfectly honest, than Seth Rollins' throat. Well, half of my entries here for LOL Moment of the Year should not be in here for LOL Moment. Like, their LOL Moment of the Year is like, ooh, like Dana Brooke tripping over or whatever. But I've got Rey Mysterio's eye. I've got, and we go into this in great detail next week when we're talking about some of the worst moments and worst matches of 2020. The swamp fight, like, that was genuinely hilarious. The
oh god, ridiculous.
Lana versus Tables was kind of perversely funny, because it's just like, whoa, here we go again, and they tease you. Whoa, here he goes. But I think, aside from, I think you're right. I think we probably have to give it to Byron Saxton. Jesus, he's getting a Slammy Award, but fair play to him. We probably have to give it to him. I also have to mention that period where we had the ninjas and Retribution, and they were two. One was a wacky stable just fronted by Akira Tozawa, because Vince McMahon is bonkers. And the other was like a terrifying force that throws bricks through one window twice. Like, it made me lol. That whole Street Profits Viking Raiders crap bin monster that's never been explained or revisited. That is probably that's the OMG moment of the year, because it feels like in 5 years, if we sit here and we go, do you remember the bin monster from when the Viking Raiders and Street Profits didn't have a fight for the tag titles? It's going to feel like, you know, you got hit on the head during the ongoing Global Bastard and just invented it, but it did actually happen. But yeah, actually, breakout start of the year, we deserve a mention for Big George, because he had about five jobs. So he's done pretty well for himself. Oh,
it's like Miss Rabbit from Peppa Pig.
Long moment of the year. Shane McMahon's live commentary on Raw Underground. Can that be?
That's sick.
That's sickest moment of the year, I think. I think we have to give him that.
It's just so sick.
But yes, oh, they had a lot of fun. You know what? Maybe it's not been all bad. No, it has in 2020. Okay, there we go. Let us know your thoughts on the 2020 Slammy Awards. Who deserves to win? Things we missed out on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Actually, they can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilson.
Sorry, my dissertation is going to get posted at WhatCulture.com/WWE, and it will get tweeted from that account at M. Sidgwick. So if you're an AEW fan who made it this far for whatever reason, make sure to follow me.
Follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. But this has been Get the Table. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.